Welcome to VFN Radio's
VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so excited that you have joined us today. We'll be right back.
Welcome, welcome to VFN Radio's Extra Hour. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster. A little echo going on right there. And we had a wonderful first hour. If you missed it, you need to hear. You can get encouraged. If you're struggling with discouragement, or if you're struggling with hitting the wrong buttons or anything like that in your life, you know what I'm saying? You need to be encouraged, totally encouraged. You can listen to the first half of the first hour, but also, you know, understanding how we can live a life. We've got to stop being naive. You know, we need to really understand that, because naive is when we think we got it all figured out and we start trying to negotiate with evil. We put our hopes in men talking to evil people that'll resolve things instead of putting our hope in God. So if you missed that, you got to hear it and also share it with your friends. Thank you for everybody out there that's liking us on our Facebook. If you haven't yet liked us on Facebook, join the thousands that have, and we just love just staying in constant relationship. We call that our virtual audience, part of our virtual audience. And you can go to VFN TV and just click on our Facebook and follow us on Twitter as well.
Well, you know, I'm so, you know, everything that we're sharing here on VFN Radio is just so informative, such a now word. I know we were just finished talking about Israel. But also, besides Israel having to deal with all the rockets that are being fired over from Hamas, Fox News is reporting that hackers are targeting Israel with millions of attacks. And so this is a big thing that's happening. And an Anonymous is actually taking some credit, according to Fox News, in regards to what's happening. They're saying that, Anonymous declared that they have, speaking of the Palestinians, that they have no Navy, no Army, no Air Force. This is no war in Gaza. And so they're taking some sort of some stands against Israel. And what's interesting is that the finance ministry is saying that their computer division has continued to block millions of these attacks. And he says that we're enjoying the fruit of our investment in recent years in developing computerized defense systems. So they're having to not only fight, you know, what looks like, you know, could develop into a whole war. We're just praying about the whole situation. Definitely a major crisis and taking down these rockets. But they're also fighting now a cyber war as well. And so we just want to, you know, encourage.
And of course, a cyber warfare, you know, everyone might not be interested in understanding. You know, about when you say hacker, you're talking about people that are sending wrong programming over the internet into the computers of Israel, where,
right.
You know, where you're online reading a newspaper or something of that nature, or you open an email and it's got something that opens up, it's called a program called a virus that does evil things to your computer, messes it up, you know, blanks it out. And so that's a serious thing. I'm looking right now at John Paul Jackson's headlines as well, as we were talking about at the end of the first hour, was they talk about that. One of the prophetic words are, and it's been on my heart as well, preparing for that, is what one of the headlines that God showed him prophetically what's going to happen. Is cyber attack cripples the grid. Cyber attack cripples the grid, and multiple collapses when restart efforts. Like they restart it and it collapses. Listen, if you have not yet, if you're depending on virtual things for your planning, for your memory, even leaning on the computer to tell you everything, your cell phones to tell you everything, and you're you don't know what a paper map is or how to get somewhere. You need to start practicing practical things again, because what's about to happen on the earth, what you're seeing happen to Israel, is going to happen to the world, and it's definitely going to happen to America.
Right,
that's right.
Because of the parts that we played and what's happening. And we can brace ourselves for that. You know, we're prepared at VFN TV and VFN Radio and all the things that we do, that if and when that happens to in America, that we can just come back up again in a hole. We have everything. We're preparing for some time.
That's right.
And now this is exactly what's happening in Israel. But also, not only that, you know, it's reported that, you know, NASA captures a giant solar tsunami that happened on the sun. Now, the sun is just huge compared to the Earth, but it says a massive solar tsunami was captured on camera by NASA, a NASA spacecraft. The space agency reported Friday. The sun erupted with two prominent eruptions on November the 16th, 2012 as well. And this is an article that is on the Space Reporter. In this, imagine this big explosion, sun flare, that it's so big that it's about 100 times the size of the Earth.
Wow.
Mm.
But it happened on the other side of the sun, so it didn't shoot our way. It went out opposite of us.
Mm-hmm.
And the question is, you know, what would have happened if it would have came our way?
Mm.
And they say about every 11 years, the sun just starts having a temper tantrum.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if it would have came our way,
mm-hmm.
then every... It would be like a, what do you call the bombs, the EMT bombs?
EMP.
EMP bombs, electromagnetic pulse.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And it'll burn out all of our satellites. It'll burn out all of our communications, telecommunications, all television, all machinery. And this happened in 18-something. You know, it's happened before. And, of course, at that time, they just had teletype and that type of thing. But it burned out all that teletype, you know, wiring.
Technology.
Technology, you know. And everything, and instantly, one explosion like that, and it really fits. You know, one of the we've been talking about the headlines of the perfect storm and some of the things going on, the prophetic words, but it talks about God was speaking prophetically, you know, about some of the warnings. But it says three planes are down from solar tsunami.
Mm.
Mm.
Search continues.
Wow.
Another one is GPS, Global Positioning System. GPS loses its GPS. How long until we know where we are?
Mm.
One explosion, and it just happened. It just happened to be on the other side of the sun. Well, we're looking at, based on some of the things that we have been hearing, and it seems a lot of our brothers and sisters have been hearing as well, is that, you know, it could be like in the next 13 months. It could be tomorrow. It could be in the next 13 months. And look at the turmoil that's happening in Israel right now, and look at the stance and how it got to where it is. I mean, prophetically, the timing-wise, and how when you look at history, you can learn what's going to happen in the future, in the present.
That's right.
That it very well could be a solar tsunami that just explodes off the earth, and it just shoots our way, and it just puts this magnetic... And it'll just fry our stuff. Mm. It'll fry all of our satellites. It'll fry all of our different things, and we're just down.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, look what happened just in the short period of time with Sandy.
I was just going to say that. You know, there's a time that you could say something like that, and people would be like, oh, really? Not sure. Listen, we are living prophetic fulfillment. I mean, look what's happened with Sandy. Look what happened with some of these other storms. I mean, it's just the weather patterns, everything is changing, and all this has been prophesied.
Uh-huh.
Now more than ever, now more than ever is a time to really to evaluate our own relationship with the Lord if we haven't.
Well, okay. But think about it too. Remember how people started acting when they got under pressure. When they got under pressure, and Sandy, and also there's no fuel. There's no food. I mean, the man that floated on his mattress all the way down to City Hall to be able to chew out the... I mean, it was like... And the people were looking... People were just looking for immediate response.
Mm-hmm.
And we're just so used to being so blessed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Used to being so blessed that there's just no grid for that.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? There's not a grid for it. And you know, there was one particular this I think it was Discovery, maybe the Discovery did a particular program called Doomsday or something. You know, what would it be like if something like that happened? Everything shut down.
Mm. And it was National Geographic,
and I like what they said. They said that one quote in there was, "Nice people, rich people, are nice." Until they're not rich anymore. Mm-hmm. You know, Americans, we're rich, you know, and we're just blessed. We're blessed people. We want more and more and more.
Right.
And so when imagine then if all of a sudden, if you not only is your town out, but the other towns are there, and even D.C.'s out and FEMA's out and, you know, all the different groups that go out and help everybody.
Mm-hmm. Think of what we just saw firsthand in these gas lines. I mean, just not being able to get gas. People are pulling out knives, they're pulling out guns. You know, there was one situation here in the Northeast where the owner of the gas station refused to open up his gas station, even though he had gas, for fear of his own life.
Yeah.
And this is over gas. You could imagine if they're not eating, if they're going, you know, long periods of time without any kind of resources. You can see where people start to get very nasty.
Yeah, and it's like where it's you know, some of the, if you have not listened to watched on VFN TV, is America under God's judgment? Just asking the question. You know, you need to watch that. If you haven't watched that, you can watch that at VFN TV. You can watch it on your VFN TV on your mobile device or on your computer or your smart television or whatever. But we have to educate ourselves in the context of that. And then there is the Elijah storm, understanding more about some of the things I'm talking to you about the prophetic warnings and the perfect storms that are happening and these different things that are taking place. But then there's prudent preparation. I mean, just being prepared, you know, for what's about to happen and what is happening as we speak. That there's not going to be government's not big enough to be able to take care of itself and everybody else at the same time. I mean, it's just... And you can be prepared. You can, you know, be prepared for this. How many times are we going to see things going like, we've never seen that before. We've never seen that before.
Yeah,
we've never seen that before. It's like, okay, that means something else might happen that you've never seen before. And you'll be surprised how dependent you are, how dependent we are on technology that we don't think, we don't, and it's easy, everything they want to do, it's, everything's like on auto-renewal. You know, every day is like on auto renewal, just renews the next day. You don't have to think, it just does it for you.
Right.
You know, and understanding that we got to get involved in our life again. You know, we need to.
Absolutely.
We have to get involved in how things work. And not only do we need to be prepared for ourselves, but we need to be prepared for others to be able to help other people out. Because what you've got to begin to do, we got to begin to do is build community right around where you are. Know your neighbors. You know, as Christians, we should have known them anyway.
That's right.
You know, and that's one of the things, one of our, you know, pet peeves is like, you know, where is the church? The church is like, you know, deathly silent. And then when it is saying something, it's trying to build something, make their thing bigger, instead of transforming the world, they're trying to transform their organization or their building.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's still not transforming my neighborhood. You know, I appreciate you raking my yard. I appreciate it, but it was all for an invitation to go to your building. We need to change. What about neighbors being neighbors? You know, there's not enough law enforcement, and they're going to be in the storms too, to be able to be there for everybody. And it's reasonable. It's reasonable when you say, well, that police car cannot go down that watered down road that's 8 feet deep underwater. I mean, it's not going to come.
That's right.
And that, or they can't get their transmission from their dispatch because there is no radio anymore right now.
Right.
And everything works at some point off of telephony, off of the satellites, off of it's just this technology, which is really great. It's one of the ways that we're talking to you right now. But understand that we use it. It doesn't use us.
Big difference.
And we have to be prepared for that. Think about it. One of the headlines that's going to happen, because a lot of things have already come to pass, and they're still going to be coming to pass, that John Paul Jackson was saying the perfect storm is that the GPS loses its GPS. It loses its GPS, and that will we ever find where we are? Think about it. And so many people, that's what's going on. That's what's happening is the fact that people just stop thinking.
Yeah.
They just kind of like play with things or kind of watch life, but they don't get involved in it anymore. And all these systems are being set up where you don't have to think anymore. As a matter of fact, they don't want you to think. We didn't pay you to think. We paid you to do exactly. Remember, we're going to monitor everything you do, and you just do it. Just do what we told you to do. Don't be thinking outside the box here. And it's all these systems being put in place. And this one world system where we're looking at, we're going to be talking about, I think, Agenda 21, you know, coming up where the United mm-hmm. Nations is working towards, you know, totally thinking for everybody in the world.
Mm-hmm. Complete takeover.
A complete takeover. Tell you where you live, tell you what you can do with the air, tell you what you can do with the land, mm-hmm. tell you what kind of transportation that you can have, tell you, take over parts of your land, your life, your mm-hmm. finances. And it's a one world system. And our only way out of that is to be with God, under the blood of Jesus Christ and having a personal abiding relationship with God.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Don't let people think for you. Learn how to think again.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, really learn how to think again.
Yeah.
Ponder it. Listen, if it's start off small, like 1 + 1 is mm-hmm. 2, write it on a piece of paper. And then expand your thinking. 3 × 3 is 9. Mm-hmm. I mean, begin to think. I mean, do a crossword puzzle. Mm-hmm. Do things, you know, quit using digital Bibles and pull out your book, a Bible, and you touch it and you experience God with it and bring out a journal, a blank journal that you have to begin to write. And begin to abide with God. And we have a plan. If you don't have a plan, we have one at iabide.org. That's iabide.org. You've got to begin to do that now, because all these things that we're depending on, when it becomes unplugged, it's not going to be there anymore.
That's right.
And if you haven't learned how to talk or walk yet, you know, it's going to be bad. Mm-hmm. But if you'll learn how to walk, and I'm not talking about just walk, I'm talking about how to function in life without these things, then you'll be led by someone else.
Mm.
But if you let Jesus lead you now and you begin to abide with him and hear his voice and follow him and begin to have a tangible relationship with God and create in this creation, you're involved in the day-to-day life. And it takes more effort and energy when you have to think for yourself. But the reward is you become a leader instead of being led.
That's right.
Because at some point, they're going to want to boot this thing over, reboot this world back to a one-world government.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, in the logical sense, outside the knowledge of God, it just makes sense to have a one-world economy. Because nothing's bound anymore by the borders of your country, because everybody's doing trade themselves. You have 16-year-olds that are doing international trade by eBay.
Yeah. You know, in colleges, they're getting rid of a degree program called international business. No such thing. Because that whole degree program that used to exist no longer is going to exist anymore, because all business is international.
Yeah, which is really important, because that means then at some point the logical step is in the humanness and the carnality of mankind is, well, we need to be able to police this.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. We need to be able to have authority over this. These things called borders need to be taken down, and we need to have a one-world government, a one-world mm-hmm. economy. When then we need to have the power to enforce it. So we need mm-hmm. a one government, one form of government. And all of a sudden, it'll be the United Nations of the world.
Mm-hmm.
It's the United States of America. And you'll have all these nations that begin to come together, possibly under 10 kings. You never know. And there are leaders over those segments, like the Euro. It could be something like that, European Union. He also talks about some of the prophetic words of the future. We heard this from other sources as well, but John Paul Jackson talks about they're going to really push for Canada, America, and South America to become one economy.
Mm-hmm.
And in logical sense, you know, we're the Americas. So you can connect all that and have one Amero or something.
Right, and that's the currency.
Yeah, one economy, one currency. Well, for us as Christians, this is not good. Because they want to track everything that you're doing. And, you know, at some point, you're going to have to be off the grid,
mm-hmm.
you know, to have a fruitful ministry.
Right.
You're going to have to be off the grid. Because once it becomes a global situation, how do you make everybody happy? Well, mm-hmm. you don't bring up things like sin.
Right.
Yeah.
You don't bring up the only way to God.
Right.
Because then you nullify every religion that's out there.
Mm-hmm.
You don't bring up specific sense, because it may wipe out and eliminate an entire nation that is doing the sin.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, it's going to be a mess. Well, it is a mess already. Mm-hmm. But understand this, as we as believers, that we don't all we need is God.
Right.
And he's more than enough.
Mm-hmm.
But things are happening so rapidly that they're just, I believe they're just waiting for enough men to buy into it.
Mm-hmm.
And you look at America, one of the big mistakes of America is, and how we got here, is that we begin to worship business, money, over God. And we, you know, Christians would say, this is just business. And he said, that's evil. It's not just mm-hmm. business.
Right.
You know, you put your profits over the prophetic word of God. You put your money over your relationship with God, over your neighbor.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, money has become your God. And Jesus said, you can't serve them both. So if you're serving money, you're not serving God.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's going to boil down to business, how you do business. You know, my hopes that would be that that we would be willing to give up the global economy to maintain a borders and maintain the Constitution of America, the United States Constitution. But the truth is, the more we lean towards international business and globalization, the less meaningful our Constitution is.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
You can't. You got to make up your mind. Do you want money or do you want God?
Mm-hmm.
You know, Woodrow Wilson, he said he wouldn't go to war, but he went to war. You know why he went to war? He went to war because he wanted big government, and the people that were in World War I, the people that were our customers, which are still our biggest customers today, is Europe, is they quit buying our products, so he quit having enough money to run the big government. So he got involved to be able to bring more money to supply a bigger government.
Yeah. And look how close we are to it now already. And look what's going on with Europe. Look what's going on with Greece. Continual Band-Aids just constantly going over the economy. But the dominoes is going to fall.
Yeah.
You know, in Spain, we talked about in VFN Radio how the middle class in Spain are being evicted and being homeless because they just can't afford their mortgages. And there's a huge growing number of homeless people living all over Spain now.
Which will happen instantly, you know, in America when we stop printing money, when we stop. We just say, okay, we're going to stop feeding this monster, you know, the money that's not ours. And mm-hmm. as I talked about Friday, that you know, we're like the Weimar, we'll be like the Weimar Republic if they start calling our debt.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, that was not good. The government totally took over. Well, that's what they want to happen. I mean, that the ultimate thing, the only way that you can manage the world is you have to be in control.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, somebody said once that power without control is has no value to it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the control aspect of it, and that's a carnality of man's nature. Men want to rule the world,
mm-hmm.
and so they
still do.
They want to know, you know, where you are. They want to know why you're there. And so, right now, just give you a little brief part of Agenda 21. It's already happening right now. They start talking about what's some of the key words that they talk about the collective. When they start talking about the collective, and I can't think of some of the words that may come to me in a moment, but. Where they'll put smart meters. They're doing it right now.
Oh, yeah.
They put smart meters on your home, for example, and the smart meter, the electric meter, will have communicate with every one of your appliances in your home. And they'll know how long you used your garbage disposal, how long you used your oven. And Austin, Texas has this already. And when Texas has it, we're all in trouble.
That's right.
That's right. They're working with the local government to bring this all in. And it's always, you know, a benefit to you. Be careful when people are always trying to share benefits with you. Are there any strings attached to these benefits? But it's all about monitoring your every aspect of your life. It's like, wait a minute, what is happening here?
What's this taking over? So now let us think for you. We can do it better than you. And you got to be willing to suffer. You got to be willing to do things the harder way than to do them just let people take over your life. And so what they did already in Austin, they said, listen to the people who have the smart meters. You're washing clothes. You're washing your laundry in the daytime. You need to start using too much electricity in the daytime. You need to start washing clothes at nighttime.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the first thing is like, this is America.
Right.
I have freedom to wash my clothes anytime I want to wash my clothes. You violated the Constitution. You search my data.
Yeah.
You've entered my home. You now monitor my appliances. And now you're telling me, you're violating my constitutional rights by telling me, you know, that I'm not free. And you have to tell me when I can wash clothes. Listen, this is major.
Listen, and don't think it can't happen.
It's happening right now.
Yeah.
In Austin.
It is already happening. I mean, under different circumstances. But when I was in Israel, I was in I paid to stay in a hotel. I was in a hotel. And the man came knocking on our door to tell us, we were asking everyone to control their water supply. It was just like, you know, never heard that before.
You Americans use so much water.
And so can you imagine? But that's under different circumstances. But can you, that happening here, right here in the United States, people just infringing on the way you live.
And so the very first thing that our president said in his, and we got a break in a moment, but the first thing he said in regards to a press conference that he had once he was elected for the second term was he started talking about global warming. Well, you think, why in the world of all the things, the financial cliffs here, all these different things? Well, he was talking about that because that is the global agenda. Mm-hmm. There has to be some global initiative going on. Mm-hmm. Speaking of that, that's actually what Bill Clinton calls his thing, global initiative.
Mm.
And, but to keep us, to keep that whole premise alive, because then we have to deal with this thing in a global way. And they're going to want to begin to manage our energy usage and manage different things that are going, manage what land you can live in. I mean, it's serious stuff. You know, that all of a sudden we have places that we're supposed to walk, you can't drive anymore. Basically, just put everybody like in a city format of living, you know, and 500 homes to 1 acre of land. And they're calling it different things. We'll tell you more about this next week, but it's amazing. It's called Agenda 21, and you can see it at the United Nations website. And it seems so good. Like, the technology seems so good that you just think, why would we not want this? It'll help us manage our city. Mm-hmm. And it's about city growth and, you know, managing smart growth or something. They have different names for it, but it boils down to is Agenda 21. And
code for takeover, right? All code for we're taking over.
Exactly. And the second that you say, you know, I don't want to balance my checkbook anymore, and you let whoever balance your checkbook, then say you just gave up. You know, a lot of different things. You have to do the work to find out and be involved in what's taking place in your life and to do the work. It's okay. God's only expecting you to do what you can do.
Mm-hmm.
Technology makes you think you can do a lot more than you can do, and you end up just living a hazed life, and you don't even know, you know, what's going on anymore. But the reality is God gave you a certain amount of talents and abilities, and that's all that you're expected to. Technology can confuse you, since you can actually talk to the world, that now you got to manage the world.
Mm-hmm.
Now, God's expectation of you is to do what you can do yourself. Do what you can do yourself. So I want to encourage you. Agenda 21 is going to be coming up. We'll be talking more about that. But it is amazing how quickly we're coming to these end days. We'll be right back. I don't know if you heard that. You might not have heard it, but we just busted through a barrier, our next barrier, our next achievement, where we went over the counter of 4,000 likes on VFN TV and VFN Radio's program's Facebook.
Yes.
And I just want to thank everybody that's joining us and all of our Facebook connected listeners that are sitting in the virtual stadium out there. We shot right through 4,000.
Mm-hmm.
And next, our goal is 5,000. And what does that mean? What does it mean to begin to like our Facebook? This is what it means. You can go to VFNTV.com and just click on our Facebook and like us. It means this, that every day our staff works tirelessly to make sure that everybody that's connected us in many ways, including our Facebook fans, is that you have access to not only the entire program, but you have access to segments, like a slice of bread being a loaf of bread being cut up in certain segments. We call those highlights, that you can listen. There may be one thing that was discussed that day. You get a chance to listen to the program, or you want to share it with somebody else. Well, the fact that you liked us on Facebook makes that available to you every single day.
Mm-hmm.
Every single day. What does that mean also? It means if you have somebody in your life, that you have a friend or a relative or somebody that you want to be encouraged, by getting them to come and like our Facebook, they automatically will get the very same highlights, and they'll hear about what we talked about in the first hour about the third great awakening. They'll hear about the prophetic words and what God is revealing, and they'll be a part of it too. And you won't have to send it to them or talk to them about it as much as they'll have it, just like you have it, on your feed, I think it's called.
That's right.
But all you got to do is go to VFNTV.com, click on our Facebook, like us, and then you'll automatically get these. And they intensely labor over making sure that these highlights are available from each day's program, because, you know, you can listen to a lot of things, but there could be one thing that day that just encourages you, that gives you insight, that helps you answer questions in your community or in your family or in your church gathering. And you can make that available to yourself if you haven't yet by going to VFNTV.com and click on our Facebook and like us. But you also can share that with your friends. If you got maybe 30, 40 friends on in your Facebook, you can say, I want to encourage you guys to go to if you had to spell out the URL, you would just go facebook.com/VFNTV, and that's it. Or you can go to VFNTV.com and click on our Facebook. But if you had to do that to get them to click on it, they actually get encouraged every single day.
Mm-hmm.
And the way it is now, they have it available. It hasn't been this way till now, but you can either go and you'll have two links on every particular post of a highlight. One is you can click on and listen to that 1 5-minute, 2-minute, 3-minute, 20-minute segment right there on your phone or your iPad or your computer, because it'll come to you in your Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can click and go to the VFN Torch. That'll be available. Same link, a different link will be available to go read more about it and see some pictures and videos. So those two links are available in every post for you, which means this: if you're riding on the road and you need to be encouraged, just look at your Facebook and look for the highlights that are put up that day. And what you do is you go to your pages or whatever that you liked, and all those will be right there and also will be in your feed. You say, I want to listen to that. You just touch it, and it'll start playing on your phone like an MP3 will just start playing.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
It's so cool. We call those highlights. But what it is it's just revelations that came out on that day, or conversations, or some encouraging things about Pat's hair products.
Absolutely.
So 5,000 likes is our next goal. Thank you for everybody helping us come to 4,000. We're already moving into 4,100, but we want to move on into 5,000 likes. Why? Because that means that many more people are getting encouraged on a daily basis. Listen, if you are having difficulty reaching people for God, partner with us in this way, and we together will reach them. We will reach them together by doing this. Mm-hmm. Isn't that cool?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Totally awesome. Cool. I think about that Promise Keepers, when Coach mm-hmm. McCartney began, you know, God touched his heart and he began to share with his friend about, we just got to get men together and we got to get right. people together. And two men, one man, then two men, then 40 men, as they began to do this and build small groups of men around America, mm-hmm. then eventually that filled stadiums. But the stadiums weren't filled because Coach McCartney had an idea.
Mm-hmm.
It was because God wanted to begin to get men in small groups and begin to show them himself. And so that happened. Mm-hmm. But the problem is, when it came out of the stadiums, it just died out.
That's right.
And what God birthed in us at that particular point was, you know, that it was time. What is the next step after the stadiums? And if you mm-hmm. go look at our history,
mm-hmm.
our history started with next step. And it was right. it wasn't just an idea. It was like, what's the next step after the stadium? Because these men were alive, you know, and they went back to sleep, and they got mm-hmm. back, seduced again. They went back to where they were when they were dead. They came out. They came alive in the stadiums and the small groups, and they went back in the dead. So what was the problem? And then we went through a process of repentance where we went into the wilderness to repent for the turning the hearts of the fathers to the children and the children to the fathers, and God moved mightily. We finished that aspect of it. And then we went with the traditional model of what we've seen happen, and all we realized that is what's producing the death. And we had right. to stop that. Then God called us out to begin to birth, you know, what we're doing today, understanding that God wants his church back. And I think about this. Reverend Billy Graham worked really hard. I mean, they would start probably a year, 9 months in advance to focus mm-hmm. and fill one particular stadium. And right. he would go in there, the stadium, and everybody worked so hard to bring whoever to come into that stadium and fill those seats to be able to preach the gospel to them once. Think about it. When he preached once, that all of a sudden, people would find God. People would get saved. And he transformed a lot of our nation and our presidents and all the things, because he just preached the gospel one stadium at a time.
Mm-hmm.
And you think about this. You think about how very specifically that here we are today.
Right.
What we're finding out, that God's called us to stadiums. We've seen the stadiums filled with people. We've seen them filled with people all across the nation. We've seen them. We've seen them crying out to God, and we've seen this taking place. But what's going to happen first, like the groundwork happened to Reverend Billy Graham when he began to work and do what was going on. He would begin to do the work, and then the stadium would be filled to preach the gospel once. But what we found out is this, in VFN radio, based on what we're understanding at this present point, that when we share with over the 900 million people that are available right now, and they're connected in the social media atmosphere, there's 1/6 of the world's population, that if we share with them VFN TV and the VFN radio program, that out of every dollar that we use to share it with them, one of them comes and sits in our virtual stadium. And they don't come, and they like us on Facebook, mm-hmm. or they connect to us and download our app, but they like us. And so $1 produces someone sitting in that seat based on what we presently see. Where, think about it. So, and with Reverend Billy Graham, who did an awesome thing for the Lord, you know, he preached once to them. But with VFN TV and the data radio program, when you sit in our virtual stadium, when you sit and listen and you have your VFN TV app, you have your VFN radio, you have Facebook, you have the VFN Torch. I mean, it's just, you're just every day the gospel is coming to everybody who sits in our stadium. When you help fill that stadium, that virtual stadium, for $1 per person, it looks like, think about it. I mean, if you just write $10 a month, you can fill 10 more seats in this virtual stadium. The probability is just huge. I mean, think about it. Even $100 a month, 100 new seats get filled a month. You have this 1,200 seats that you filled yourself all by yourself, or maybe even a dollar. We can begin to transform instantly. Think about it. I'm looking right now at a particular article on a broadcast that we had over 73,000 people. Think about that. That's a stadium of 73,000 people that heard the prophetic word over what's taking place on one particular segment. Be a part of it. Let's turn the heart of this nation, and we can turn the heart of this nation by filling this virtual stadium. And if we'll fill this virtual stadium, this is what I believe. We'll fill stadiums all around this nation, but they first have to be filled, and the gospel has to be sown into their hearts now. How can you do that? Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. Click on fill the stadium now, and maybe it's a dollar a month. Maybe it's $2 a month. Maybe it's $100 a month. By doing that, you fill the virtual stadium, and we can preach the gospel every single day to them, where Reverend Willie Gammon only preached it once. And look at the return. We can turn the heart of this nation. Do it now. Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. Welcome back to VFN Radio's Extra Hour. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster. Joining me is Pat, John, and Chris. We're just getting some breaking news right now in Israel.
Breaking news right now, the National Post is actually reporting that, this is the title, Hamas gunmen execute six Israeli spies as Netanyahu hints at a ceasefire. Witnesses say that mass gunmen have publicly killed six suspected collaborators with Israel at a busy Gaza City intersection. Now, Hamas has taken responsibility. Witness said that the six men were pulled out of a van Tuesday, forced to face down on the street, and then were shot dead. Now, what's interesting here, and it's pretty bad, a sixth body was tied to a motorcycle and dragged through the streets as people screamed, "Spy, spy." Now, they're saying that Israel relies on a lot of informants in Gaza City to relay information. And the picture's just horrific. There is a band of five or six riders on motorcycles. They're taking video. This is not a dusty street. This is actually a main asphalt road that they're driving on. And they're dragging this man, who apparently is dead, through the street. It's just horrible. They have the picture kind of blurred, so you can't see him because he's kind of disrobed there. But we're talking about evil. Talking about evil.
That's exactly what I was referring to, is that you can't negotiate with evil. You have to put your foot down and say, this is wrong. Mm-hmm. Your premise is wrong from the beginning. And are these Israelis that are being shot?
Yes, this is what they're reporting right now.
Listen,
Israeli spies.
Lord, right now we just pray for Israel. We pray for the peace of Jerusalem, that you would just put your angels around them, give them wisdom. Lord, we've been praying for years that you would give wisdom to the prime minister how to protect and stand for Israel, Lord. We just pray for that wisdom to come.
Yes.
And that they would do what you want them to do, to stand up for the protection of the Jews.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Lord, and I don't understand why there's anybody in Gaza right now that's a Jew, but I just pray that you would remove every Israeli that's in Gaza and bring them to a place of safety, and this wouldn't happen. You'd comfort those families that just lost their loved ones, and we just ask this in Jesus' name. That's exactly, you know, what I was talking about with evil.
Yeah, and being naive, is it a coincidence? You have to look at this stuff, that right in the beginning, where there's supposedly a truce is going to be negotiated. Now you have Hamas, who's publicly doing, it's just almost like there is no, there's not a truce. It's a bait and switch. It's just continue to do this evil over and over again.
Well, you know, with this, you know, we need to understand that our prayers do avail much, you know, that we can pray and continually lift them up and support them. And this probably means that, that they're about to launch in a full-scale attack. I would imagine they're going to come in over the lines.
I would imagine, you know, they've called up about 30,000 reservists. They have tanks. That, you know, they have them all ready to launch and do a ground invasion. And the situation is that it's not about, you know, taking out Hamas. I mean, Hamas and Gaza City, you know, Gaza, it's this little tiny strip. It's everything else. It's everything else is going to come with this. It's the Muslim Brotherhood. It's the other countries. It's Iraq. It's
You're looking at Syria. You know, they'll probably be attacked from the north. Mm-hmm. They'll probably be attacked from the east. They'll probably be attacked from, they are being attacked now from the south, but that's south of Gaza. Mm-hmm. But then you have Egypt also that, you know, coming in and understand that. He says that he will make those around Israel like a trembling cup, that all nations will turn against Israel and not stand with Israel. I mean, this is a very prophetic time right now that we need to pray for the salvation of the Jewish people. Pray for their eyes to be opened, that the veil would be lifted, and that they would understand that the Messiah has come, and that this can mean this too as well, that there's a certain number of the Gentiles, the non-Jews, that are going to come in, but once that to the salvation of the Lord and get saved. But once that number is in, you know, then that's when things reopen again for the Jews. And listen, if you have not made Jesus the Lord of your life, you need you don't know how much time this window is open for this moment. And because once the full number is in, and things move so quickly, and it's going to move faster than your mind can move. And this is just tragic. This is so tragic. But it was tragic already. Every day people were dying. Every day these missiles are landing. Every day the world looks at Israel like a shock look on their face that they're going to defend themselves. You know, that like they don't have a right to exist. And we would have pounced any nation that did that to any of our states. And we used to do that if they did it to our embassies, but we don't even do that, you know, anymore.
Absolutely. Well, you think about when the head of the UN is asking Israel to have maximum restraint was the word. It's like, are you kidding me? Maximum. This is what Israel has been doing all along. And so for the person who's leading the UN to be able to say that, it's like, come on now. You have to support Israel in a time like this, period.
Yes, yes. And so we want to remember them, but I believe you're probably looking, I would say, that it's time for them to go the full. So obviously it's war now. I mean, what party do you not call war when you're, you know, bombing each other, but when the troops on the ground, that you, the enemy's evil, and you, it's not like a one way plan like we're talking about. So the second they start marching over the line of the Gaza Strip and over the border, I mean, no telling what the enemy has planned coming in from the all sides of Israel,
right?
And the prophetic words that I'm reading to you this morning from The Perfect Storm, the headlines, I mean, these headlines have to do with a nuclear, some sort of nuclear involvement where maybe a nuclear bomb's going to go off. And when you're that little, when you're that small, you have that many people against you, you got to hit fast, you got to hit hard, and you got to hit often until you have to be relentless, because if you let up, I mean, they will not again, never again. They say, and you don't blame them, they were literally, you know, put in prison camps, just killed just for being a Jew. They were put into ghettos. They were killed, burned in ovens. I mean, just because they were Jews. Yeah. And that's how the church is, JJ, Jesus and the Jews. This is the ultimate goal, church. We're going to have to wake up and understand it's not going to be good. It's not going to be good. We can stand up. God could turn this thing, but we got to stand up and begin to say, Lord, have mercy that you would stop this and have a compassion, you know, for Israel. And it's just tragic. But it looks like this. I would say in my own knowledge and what the Lord's that it's a for sure thing. But it was original word was the second they had to fire a shot to defend themselves. So I think we're looking at a progressive thing that's going to just keep going and going and going. I don't think you're going to see any stop to it, because their ultimate goal is to stop. Is to harm and do away with God's people, period. You know, which are Christians and Jews,
right?
And the evil one's not going to be happy until he will get to do that. Obviously, he won't be successful at it. But a lot of people that day, the day that their life is taken from them, it's over. They miss the chance to be able to make Jesus the Lord of their life. Mm-hmm. And as we said in the first hour, hell is real. And Jesus came, and he's the only way out of hell, you know, and to enter in the presence of God.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, as we transition, we're coming to the end of the extra hour. We like and enjoy sharing the wisdom moment. Of course, we like to share, there's 31 Proverbs, and we like to share the wisdom moment that correlates with the day of the month. So today's the 20th day of the month, and we'd like to share the wisdom moment today is found in Proverbs 20, verse 4. And it says that a sluggard does not plow in season, so at harvest time he looks but finds nothing. A sluggard does not plow in season, but at harvest time he looks but finds nothing. And so what's interesting is we talked about and some time before on VFN Radio about a sluggard. A sluggard is a person who is habitually inactive or lazy. Now, what's interesting
about... You can't find that in America, right? You couldn't.
Oh, my goodness. Come on. Unfortunately, we can find it a lot. But, you know, when you think about life, there are always seasons in life. And the wise man and the wise woman understands that, you know, there's a season. There are seasons for things. The sluggard doesn't even care. It's like the sluggard is such a sloth, and he refuses to understand that this is a season in his life. And there's some unique qualities. I'm just meditating on this. There's some unique qualities when you think about seasons. They have a start, and they have an end, right?
Right.
Each season is unique from the other.
Right.
And each season has its own condition that requires us to take notice so that we can be effective in the season that we find ourselves in. There are expectations. And for the sluggard in this proverb, I mean, the expectation for him was to plow, to till the soil, to tear up the soil. And interesting enough, the word plow also means to invest. And we talked about the third great awakening just yesterday and how the hard ground has to be cultivated. You have to till the ground in order for the gospel to be sown so that hearts can receive
right. The
gospel. But the sluggard, because of his laziness, doesn't even plow. He doesn't even plow. And he doesn't take the season serious. There's no discernment. There's no effort exerted in breaking up the ground. There's no investing. And what's even more delusional for this poor sluggard here, what's even more delusional is that at harvest time, in the next season, he actually looked. He looked and found nothing. I mean, duh.
What's he looking for?
Yeah, exactly.
That's like an entitlement mentality, isn't it?
Right.
Like,
absolutely. Absolutely. If you didn't sow, if you didn't till the ground, how in the world could you ever expect the harvest?
You know, quite often that we're not willing to let go of what is to have what will be.
Mm-hmm.
You know, God takes away to establish.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
absolutely.
That something has to die before it can actually go. It's like, I got this and I want more, but I'm not going to have more until I'm willing to till this under.
Mm-hmm.
And let this present condition, this present season be nourishment for the next season. That we just want to keep carrying them with us. And the reality is we're limited. We're not willing to let go. Trusting God or trusting yourself.
Right. Absolutely.
And if you can be a sluggard and you can be a sloth and sit there, it's because you have an assumption that everybody's going to take care of everything for you.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that
mm-hmm.
you don't have anything to do in this, so that God's not, you know, partnering with you. He's just going to do it for you.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't happen that way. It's just good, man. It's good.
Yeah, and in order for you to get what you need to get, You need to do what you need to do in the time that you have to do it. I mean, there was a season for him to plow, but once the season was over, you know what I'm saying? It was over. Ecclesiastes 3 tells us that there's a time and there's a season for everything. And there's just no discernment. And even you may find yourself in different seasons in your own life. I mean, there's all sorts of seasons. You got economy, you have seasons in your work, in relationships, spiritually. I mean, we're living in prophetic season right now. But the question is, are you going to be like the sluggard and look for a harvest and expect the harvest where you have not sown, where you haven't invested, where you haven't put in the hard work in order to reap the due season? and I think about this as we're coming to the end of the extra hour, I think about this in terms even of relationships. I mean, have you noticed that sometimes people have a shock when they have a huge expectation of being able to reap out of a relationship in which they've never sown? It's like, you know, we're going to have to invest. We're going to have to invest because there's going to be in our relationships, we're going to have to take the time to work at them and invest in them and sow into them. Because let me tell you, what is coming? There's going to be a time that you're going to need to make a withdrawal. There's going to be a time where you're going to need to talk about and have people there for you. But how can you make a withdrawal from a relationship that you didn't sow into, that you didn't invest in?
You know, it makes me think about, you know, the prophetic word, the word of knowledge, that obedience primes the pump of desire. Mm-hmm. You know, a sluggard has no desire, mm-hmm. but he doesn't think or she doesn't think that the desire will come. But mm-hmm. it is your obedience. It's like priming the pump. You got to actually put water in a pump for it to pump water.
Mm-hmm.
You got to participate to be able to siphon gas. You actually have to get involved in the process. But once you get the flow going, obedience primes the pump of desire. Believe it or not, if you begin to draw near to God, he'll draw near to you.
Absolutely. We think about that, even your abiding time.
Exactly.
I mean, there is a season, there is a time to invest in your relationship with the Lord.
And now is that time more than ever.
Absolutely.
Come on now.
Yes.
You know, if we want to reap the harvest of hearing God's voice, his presence, and being reassured of his love and his direction and his guidance for our lives, we got to be willing to invest time with him. I mean, the Lord, listen, he's relational. He is relational. So we don't want to be like the sluggard. We can gain wisdom from the Lord. We can borrow the experience and not buy the experience. But if we want to reap during harvest time, then there is a time that there's a season that we're going to have to be willing to do the hard work, willing to invest, willing to break up the ground so that we will have that harvest. The moment with the wisdom moment of today is found in Proverbs 20, verse 4. A sluggard does not plow in season, so at harvest time he looks, but finds nothing. You know, as we're coming to the very end of the extra hour, I want to make sure that we talk about the VFN Torch top three. And I really want to share that real quick with you. But, you know, one of the highlights that we've talked about was justice belongs to the Lord. And so oftentimes, because of hurt and sufferings and injustices, we can be tempted to seek out our own justices. We can want to correct a wrong in our own way. But we want to encourage you here today that, you know what, justice belongs to God. You know, Jesus, who did absolutely nothing when he was on the cross, said he entrusted himself to the one who judges justly. Listen, you don't have to pay back evil. You can entrust that situation. You can entrust what's happening, and you can give it to the Lord. The second one I want to share with you is don't think it's strange. And these are highlights on VFN Torch, and you can get to it by going to VFNTV.com. But don't think it's strange. It's just God working on you.
Yeah,
right.
It's just God working on you. We talked about when you're in the midst of a trial, when you're in the midst of hardship, listen, God's treating you as a son. For what son is not disciplined by his father? Hebrews 12:7. It's not over. It's just begun. Work with God as he's working with you. Because let me tell you, if God is working on you, there is still hope. It's not strange. It's not strange. God's just working on you. Let that trial, welcome that trial as a friend so that God can do what he wants to do in your life. And the last one as we come to the end is, do you fear man or do you fear God? You can't serve fear and God at the same time. You really can. This is a moment of wisdom that we shared, and it was just so powerful. You're gonna have to decide. You can't bow down to fear man. You need to bow down to the fear of God. And if you, as we do that, as we trust the Lord and have the fear of God in our life, let me tell you something. It's gonna go well with us. It's gonna go well with us.
That's so good.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you've joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com
on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.